In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Dear brothers and sisters, a familiar story to be sure, one that Thomas only came in on the second half. And what he missed in the first half had to be filled in. What he missed in the first half also had to be filled in for you and me and all of the church that followed. Thomas missed Jesus' first appearance in the upper room, where the disciples were still cowering. They'd been receiving all of these different reports. By the time this is right here, Jesus is probably finishing his time at the dinner table with the men on the road to Emmaus, who invited him in because he was on the way that they were going, and he started telling them these strange and wonderful stories. And so he showed up, and his first words were peace. Peace be with you. And so again today, that word of the Lord is yours. Peace be with you. Not peace as the world gives, Jesus had said already, but the peace of the Lord be yours. The peace that surpasses understanding. The peace that is not just the cessation of hostilities, but the peace which is wholeness, completion, goodness, righteousness, healthiness, all of those wonderful things that were ours by creation that were lost in the fall, that fullness of Christ's peace is yours. How do you get that peace? From the one who speaks it. From the one who shows the disciples his hands and his side. Thomas gets a bad rap, because he won't believe the words of the others. Well, earlier in the day, who believed the word of the women? Some of them hoped it might be true. We hear from the apostle that when Peter and John raced to the tomb, John beat Peter there, but Peter went in first. But when John came in, he saw what was folded up there and he believed. But there too, we hear they did not yet understand. And here in the upper room, John may believe, but even there he might be a little bit wavering because he hasn't seen anything since then. But he still doesn't understand. That understanding would be imparted. And the gift delivered by John, by Peter, by James, and yes, by Thomas. And it would continue to come to the church through those the Lord called to follow the office of the apostles and the office of the ministry. Those who were called to preach, to teach, to be missionaries and evangelists to the world. Those who the church has raised up, or rather God has raised up within his church. He showed them, and then, only then, were they glad, it says. Now you're at a disadvantage, aren't you? When Jesus sends his ambassadors into the church now, I dare say there aren't very many pastors who can stand up and show you the holes in their hands, their feet, and their side, and say, because I have these holes, now you can believe in Jesus. And even less likely are they to bring a physical, corporal Christ into church and say, look, see, I've been telling you this all along. Now will you believe? This faith needs to be created by God through the Word and the work of the Holy Spirit. The disciples are glad when they finally recognize who it is and that it's not a ghost. And we have the other gospel accounts that help fill that in. Jesus would show up and eat. He would say, touch me. I am not a spirit. I am physically, bodily raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who will be raised. The first fruits of these apostles. The first fruits of all believers. In fact, of all mankind. And all who believed in him or hoped in the promise of his coming would be raised not to condemnation, not to a further, longer life of struggle and sorrow and grief and pain, but rather to a life of peace, a life of health. Hostilities over, right with God, harmony with nature, love among one another. Everything that we do not have now or have only in little fits and starts is complete. Peace I leave with you. Now you boys, when he had said this, he then breathed on them. and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You remember road trips? Either you make them with your children, or you were the child who was in there, and you're packed into the car, elbow to elbow, and that brother or that sister beside you is poking and prodding and, yes, breathing on you. And you're complaining to the parents, or you're the parent refereeing those complaints. And if somebody walks up to you right now and says, or, because we don't know how Jesus breathed on them, we just know that he did, we wouldn't be too fond of that. Even if it's your husband or your wife doing that to you, dear, why are you doing that? Have you lost your mind? At the very least, are you trying to be like Jesus? But the breathing on them is Jesus physically showing the spiritual gift that he is giving. What happened when God made that first man and formed him out of clay and he was just a lifeless lump on the ground? And no jokes about your husbands, please, wives. He was a statue. He was an image. He was an icon. But he was not the real thing. It was only when God breathed into him that man became a living being. And in the Greek of the New Testament, and in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, breath and spirit are the same thing. And the Holy Spirit is the holy breath of God, the one who comes out through the world. He is the wind of God that blows where he wills, accomplishing what he will. And so Jesus here reenacts the creation as part of the new creation by breathing into these lifeless lumps who have been following him for 3 years or more and who are still clueless. They do not understand. And he gives them a full measure of the Spirit, a measure that they had already had, yes, because they had already believed in him and followed him, but not what they needed to get out of that room, stop cowering for fear, and start bringing that good news. A good news that they were bold enough to live in public that they started getting thrown in jail. A good news that they were bold enough to live in public that they started being persecuted and executed. And it all came from that life-giving breath, the breath of the Spirit to them. Receive him. If you forgive the sins of others, those sins are forgiven. If you retain, if you withhold the forgiveness, those sins are not forgiven. This is part of the foundation of the pastoral office, and it is part of the foundation of Christ's church. This same Holy Spirit, working through physical means, other people in the church, calls pastors to stand up in front of people and continue to accuse them of their sins, just as Christ accuses the world of its sins as he teaches around the earth, and just as he summarizes the sins as he reaches those different churches in Revelation, where he is leading the evangelist at the beginning of our epistle today. The sword and the loud booming voice, those are not things that engender tenderness and closeness, because that is part of who Christ is. That two-edged sword is his to wield, and he will cut away those who refuse to believe in him. But with that same sword, he will protect those who do. That loud voice which will terrify us as sinners is also the loud voice which chases away those who sin. And it is the loud voice that will call us from the grave on the last day. And as we believe in him, we'll hear him then invite us to live with him and his Father forevermore. So this is a weighty message he's laying on there in this one verse. If you forgive, then everybody who you forgive is part of this collection of saints. As I have breathed my Spirit on you, so now you will have that Spirit within you and with you, that you might go out and forgive and give what I am giving you right now. Peace. Peace to consciences that are seared. Peace to bodies that are tormented. Peace to minds that cannot rest in the middle of the night, no matter how tired they are. Fullness of peace. And Thomas missed all of that. And so he had to be brought up to speed. And Jesus rebukes his disbelief. And sometimes we wonder, well, Was there something that we didn't hear that he said to the other 10 the previous visit? Or was his just holding himself up? Enough. Thomas needed the proof. What would happen if you needed that proof? Again, I say, is there a scarred and wounded body that can stand up here and start saying, touch me, feel me, put your hand here or here? Of course not. You need that gift that the Savior put on his disciples. You need the Holy Spirit so that in spite of not having a physical Jesus standing up here saying, hey, look at me, it really is me raised from the dead, you will believe it when a pastor, a teacher, a parent, a friend tells you that Jesus Christ did die and did rise and that because of that, your sins are forgiven. Because that's all you get. You don't get Jesus standing here talking to you. You get Jesus using the voice of others talking to you. You don't get to sit down and eat lunch with Jesus under a tree or on the banks of the Sea of Galilee or anyplace else, but you get to eat Jesus in the Lord's Supper. You don't get to ride on the boat and see him work those wonderful miracles, walking on the water or stilling the waves, but you can pass through the waves of holy baptism and have your sins washed away and your peace with God. You don't get Jesus saying, you have really let me down, yet I know you're sorry, and I have already forgiven you. But you get those who he has called and sent to do just that. And you get the work of the Holy Spirit convincing you that that bread and wine is the body and blood of Jesus Christ, that you might receive it in faith and not merely receive it. That your baptism might actually do what the Lord sets out to accomplish, not only naming you and claiming you as his own, but creating and sustaining faith that you might continue to be his own until death takes you out of this life and leads you into life everlasting. That you might believe when you hear your pastor stand up in front of you on a Sunday morning or elsewhere and say, I forgive you all of your sins. Nothing held back. Nothing retained. Nothing preventing you from receiving the fullness of Christ's peace. The evidence is the testimony of the eyewitnesses. It's the testimony of those who saw the miracles and who worked the miracles. These are honest and honorable men, and the Holy Spirit has done his work, then we should believe, and we do believe, and we take this testimony as real, as full, as complete, as all we need to be saved. So Thomas didn't just miss a brief appearance. Thomas missed the heart of the gospel, the institution of the pastoral office, and the beginning of the spread of Christianity to all the world. But he didn't miss it, finally. Because he got the story from Jesus. He was filled in by the other disciples. And he, like they, finally believed. He got his proof. But yet we hear that those who do not have that physical, biological, standing in front of them, talking to them proof, are even more blessed. Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen. In fact, blessed are those who are not even born. Blessed are you who are sitting here today. And your parents before you, and should the world last, your children after you. Blessed is everyone who has received the Spirit of God and has reacted in faith to this wonderful news. Jesus is not still buried in the tomb. He is not some pile of bones lost somewhere in Palestine. He is alive and he lives forever and ever. And because he lives, you live also. And because he not only died on the cross to forgive your sins, but gives you his pastors, his body and blood in the supper, the water of holy baptism, you have everything that the disciples had right there. You have everything that those first Christians had because you have Jesus. You have life. And you have peace. And you need it. Almost every generation has thought at one time during its existence that things are really getting bad. We must be near the end of the world. Is our time any different? you need the peace of Christ. So many people have financial worries, health worries, relationship worries, or worries about their worries, and you need this peace. A peace that the world cannot comprehend, a peace that the world cannot grasp, a peace that only those who are led to faith by the Holy Spirit can believe, can receive, and then can live. Now John says Jesus did many other things. But he's not going to write them all down because he's going to wear out his pen. He's going to develop carpal tunnel. He's not going to be able to get out and tell everybody everything else that he wants to tell them because he's stuck there in a room still writing. But his testimony, that of Matthew, that which was handed down then to Mark and to Luke, that which was testified to by St. Paul, who was converted by the word of the Lord, by the blessing of the Holy Spirit, that testimony is yours. All of the 500 who Paul mentions when he is speaking of his own conversion were never rebutted, were never denied. They were ignored. They were condemned. They were marginalized. They were rejected as the Sadducees did the disciples on this Sunday. But they were true and honest accounts. Jesus did appear to those men, plain simple people, Missouri kind of people, show me kind of people. And he did. And after he showed them, they told others. And no one ever said, that's a lie, that's wrong, we can drag the body out of the tomb and prove it to you, because they couldn't prove it, because Jesus was, and Jesus is, and Jesus will remain alive. And because of the life he gave you in baptism and sustains in word and sacrament, you are alive. You have died to sin and are raised to new life and will live forever and ever. So Thomas, do not disbelieve, but believe. And you also believe that the word that is written, the word that is spoken, the word that is preached is true. That Jesus Christ died to save sinners. And that if you're as honest as St. Paul, of whom you are the chief, and he forgot and he forgave all of those sins and granted you new life, then you are free, and you do have the peace that he breathed on the disciples, and the peace that he pours out on his church, and the peace that is ours even into the resurrection and forever and ever. Amen. Now this peace of Christ, which surpasses understanding, keep you steadfast in true faith unto life everlasting.